Genesis chapter 39, I desire that we read from the beginning of this chapter, 6 verses, with the help of our Heavenly Father and in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for the strengthening of our faith in His name. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer of his house, in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. This far I desire that we read in our first reading. And before we proceed with our reading of some more verses from this chapter, let us join our hearts and minds in a prayer to the Lord. Holy Father, we bow down before Thee with the desire of our weak hearts to be united in this worship of Thy great and holy name. And Thou, Lord God, our Heavenly Father, that are with Thy Spirit in the midst of Thy children, be Thou in our midst today. And Thou, Heavenly Father, grant us an open heart and mind, that as we read the Holy Scripture, we may read it as Thy own word, the message that Thou hast sent to us in Christ Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Gracious Lord, we are weak and small, but Thou art great, and Thy grace is sufficient for all our needs. Thou art our Creator and our Savior, O Father. Lead us Thou and teach us Thou. Lead us in this prayer. Lead us in our thanksgiving and praise to Thy holy name. Lead us to this worship by Thy word and by the guidance of Thy Holy Spirit. Lord God Almighty, Thou also unite our hearts and mind as we worship Thy great and holy name, that we wouldn't be worshiping Thee when we are here together only, but that Thy word be blessed and powerful in our hearts, and that our lives be in the harmony with Thy holy word, with Thy will, with Thy message, O Lord, that we also may have fellowship with Thee every hour of our pilgrimage, every step of our way, so that, Lord God Almighty, Thou wouldst always be in our midst and in our hearts, that Thy Spirit be a token, O Lord, that we are Thy beloved children in Christ, the heirs of the promises of our fathers, the heirs of the heavenly kingdom. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we thank Thee for Thy goodness and mercy. We praise Thee, Lord, that that psalm that Thou hast given to Thy faithful ones so many years ago is being fulfilled in our days. Gracious Lord, we thank Thee for Thy goodness and mercy that is following us in all the days of our pilgrimage. We thank Thee for the promise of life everlasting, the promise, O Lord, that we will dwell in Thy house, O Lord, forever. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we pray that Thou fill our hearts with gratitude, that our souls may overflow with praises of Thy holy name. Grant us, O Heavenly Father, spiritual eyes to see Thy goodness and Thy grace that is so abundantly given to us in Christ. We thank Thee, Lord, for the beautiful songs that are ringing between these walls early morning and late evening, and often during the day. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the desire in our hearts to serve thee, and for the zeal that thou hast blessed our souls with to praise thee and to honor thy greater holy name. Gracious Lord, may our every effort and every desire of our heart be just another form of worshiping thy holy name and honoring thy holy Son, our blessed Redeemer. Gracious Lord, make us thou strong in faith. Fill our hearts with thy love and with blessed hope, for soon thou wilt come in glory as thine own people's King, to gather thine elect ones and to celebrate that glorious, wonderful jubilee when thou wilt spell the end of sin and woe and open the door of that great and glorious eternity to fill thy kingdom with thy inheritance, thy purchased possession which thou hast purchased with thine own blood on the cross. Gracious Lord, we pray that thou fill our days with faithfulness and true godliness, that thou fill our activity with charity, with patience and long-suffering, with meekness and modesty. Oh, grant us thou more of that Christian beauty that is called modesty and meekness. Gracious Lord, thou also grant us courage and zeal to witness to the truth, to testify about thy holy name, to proclaim thy gospel far and wide, but first in our homes and in our neighborhood. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, make us thou thy faithful witnesses. Grant us thy holy testimonies. Lead us thou and make us faithful followers of thy guidance. Make us true disciples of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And thou, Lord, grant that our testimony be manifested, proclaimed in words, proven in deeds, and manifested in our manners and in our conduct. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, may this blessed word of thine be to our souls sweeter than honey and as fresh as the living water from a fountain that will never run dry. Holy Father, unite our hearts and minds in the heart, in the mind of thy Holy Son. May thy Spirit fill our being, that we, O Lord, even though we are so weak and small, that we may be made in the likeness of thy Holy Son, thy beloved one. May, O Heavenly Father, thy Holy Spirit make us new creatures, dead to sin and evil, and alive in Christ, that we walk and live in Christ, that our whole life and being be thine. O God Almighty, our loving Heavenly Father, how great thou art. And how wonderful is this holy word of thine. How wonderful is thy goodness and grace. How glorious thou art, even in thy humility. O Lord, thou hast given us to taste of that glory of thine. Thou hast given us, O Lord God Almighty, to be despised and rejected in this world. To know the steps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. O gracious Lord, purify our thinking. Illuminate our mind with thy light from heaven, this blessed truth. And thou, Heavenly Father, sanctify our souls and make us a vessel for honor and glory of thy holy name. We know, Heavenly Father, that we are asking for so much and we are worthy of nothing. But we rely on thy goodness and mercy. And in the name of our blessed Redeemer, thy Holy Son, thy beloved one in whom thou art well pleased, the hope of earth and the joy of heaven, we pray in his name, Lord, make us thou Christ-like. Holy Father, teach us thou, and make us faithful disciples. Lead us thou, and make us faithful followers. Guide us and protect us, fill us and use us for thy good and pleasant will. O Lord God Almighty, how great and glorious thou art. Watch over us and protect us, and thou proclaim this gospel of thine. May the message of truth and salvation and the prophecy of great judgment, O Lord, may be heard far and wide, and may thy word be fulfilled, that those that hear, though being dead, shall rise and live in Christ. O grant thou those precious pearls from the heavenly treasures, Lord, thy pure godly fear, true repentance, full conversion, victory over sin and death, new life in Christ, peace of a conscience purified by the blood of the Savior, joy of thy salvation, joy that will grow greater and greater until it be fulfilled in that glorious kingdom where, O Heavenly Father, we desire with all thy saint ones to worship and praise thee in endless eternity. Amen. In our second reading, beloved brethren and sisters and friends, children, I desire that we read from this same chapter, chapter 39, Genesis chapter 39, from the verse number 19 to the end of this chapter. Genesis 39:19. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him, and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. This far I desire to read about that prosperity that in today's world, and just as well in the world that was at that time, would be labeled as most awful. None of the young people of that time would envy that kind of prosperity and that kind of fellowship with God that Joseph had. They would rather have fellowship with sin. We read here in the preceding chapters what was going on in the family of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham. The holy family, the family that had the precious promises of the Lord, that in Abraham's seed shall the whole world, the mankind, all the nations, be blessed. There is an awful thing in that. That sin of the mankind is so exceedingly sinful that the blessings of God turn into a curse to those that reject them. For those that hear the word of God and despise and reject the message from heaven will be judged more severely than those that did not hear. For to whom much is given, much will be asked from him. However, for those that serve the Lord and remain faithful to him, there is no pleasure, no riches that this world can offer, not to give, but only to offer. Nothing is as great, as wonderful, and as glorious as that true and lasting fellowship with the Heavenly Father. We see that Jacob had 12 sons, and at the moment when the youngest, the 12th son of Jacob, was born, his beloved wife Rachel died. So that son became as a burden of good memories of the past, a joy and a hope of his father, and also a memory that turned the lifetime love between Jacob and Rachel into lifetime sadness for Jacob. But the first son of Rachel, Joseph, whom his father apparently intended to make the head of the family, was a young lad, and he was bringing evil report about evil deeds of his half-brothers, the sons of his father's concubines, and they hated him because of that. Joseph was pure. Joseph was godly young man. And so, starting with the eldest brother, Reuben, and then going on with the, I think, fourth brother, Judah, and then the others, Simeon and Levi, that were unruly people, godless people, the people that took the name of God only in deceit, in treachery, in hatred. They hated Joseph. We see that apparently Jacob was not aware that the hatred of his other sons toward Joseph was so bitter, so great as it was. So Jacob sent Joseph to visit his brethren far away and to bring news, a word, information to their father, to Jacob. And that was the last time Jacob was going to see Joseph for a long, long time. And so what happened? Joseph's brothers decided to murder him, all but one. Of course, Benjamin was at home, a small child. That one, the eldest one, Reuben, that wanted to save Joseph, was not wise enough nor strong enough to withstand murderous intention of his brothers. He tried to use some way around that and didn't work. Joseph was sold as a slave to the Ishmaelites, a brotherly nation, a nation that originated with their father, our father Abraham. And so what happened? Once they did that, and the caravan, the merchants, the Ishmaelites, took Joseph away and went their way, and the brethren divided among themselves 2 pieces of silver to each one of them, which probably was a token of their crime, that none of them will ever betray their cause and tell to their father what really happened. It seemed to me, beloved, that they feared a curse from their father. And so the Ishmaelites went their way and disappeared from the horizon. And now the murderers think what to do next. How to cover up. How to hide their evil deed. So they take Joseph's coat, the coat of many colors, that was intended to be the coat of the head of the family, and they soak the coat in the blood of an animal and send the coat to their father. It seemed to me that they didn't take it themselves, but they sent probably a servant or a few servants. And when Jacob saw the coat, he said, "Yeah, this is the coat of my son Joseph. An evil beast has devoured him." And so Jacob, who long time ago, when he was a young man about 40 years, deceived his old and blind father Isaac. In order to obtain blessing, a priority or a prestige ahead of his twin brother Esau, the same Jacob is now deceived in a much worse manner. His sons did not sell Joseph because they wanted Jacob's blessing, but because they hated Joseph. They did not want to have amongst them someone who is going to bring evil report about their evil deeds. We all remember Cain. Cain could not stand the fact that his brother Abel is righteous and that Cain is not righteous. So instead of repenting and turning to the Lord and bringing the proper sacrifice with true confession and repentance, Cain murdered his brother. Before that, the earth was cursed for human sake. Now, the murderer himself is accursed. And so started a nation that will soon end in the great flood. Well, God kept his promises. In the seed of Abraham, in the descendants of Isaac, in the nation that will spring up into existence from the loins of Jacob, Israel, all the nations will be blessed. So God is preparing a long school, difficult school for Joseph, but then a very difficult course for his brothers. Joseph was brought down to Egypt. Jacob is back there in the land of Canaan, sorrowing over the death of his son. Not only death of his son, but just disappearance. Nothing is left but a bloody coat. The hopes of Jacob are crushed, and he says that he will continue sorrowing, living in sadness until the moment of his death, for his son is not going to return to him. I wonder if Joseph's brothers, Jacob's sons, did regret their evil as they were watching old Jacob mourning for his son Joseph. Well, Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. What do we see here? How is a godly person, a young man, Joseph, who had the love of his father as the only support in this life, how is he sold into slavery? First by his own brothers, and then by a group, a people, a nation that is the seed of Abraham according to the flesh. Could it be that similar people have the same intention, same ambition today? Those that have religion and those that have historical origin of the faithful one, trying to sell into slavery those that sincerely and honestly believe our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Could it be that those that have the origin of our father Abraham, that they are closely related to Egyptians, and Egypt means the land that is charred, dark, burned, an awful land, a land of slavery. That they are doing the same thing today. How good it is for the faithful ones to be very cautious, very careful, and trust the Lord, and never trust a human name, organization, or any individual, believing that anyone is more than just another man. The Word of God is the only sure foundation and the only true and clear, pure teaching of salvation. And we read here that the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with Joseph, and that the Lord made all that Joseph did to prosper in Joseph's hand, and Joseph found grace in his sight, his master's sight, and Joseph served his master, and the master made Joseph an overseer over all of the things in his house, and all that he had, the master has put into Joseph's hand. From that time on, there was a great prosperity in the house and in the possessions of Potiphar, the servant or the captain of the guard, the Egyptian, the captain of the guard of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. The Lord blessed Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And so, very soon, Joseph's master knows practically nothing that is going on in his household and on his property, his possession. Joseph is trustworthy, he's sincere, he's honest, he's very skillful, very intelligent, faithful, and he's doing everything not for the sake of Potiphar, but because Joseph is a godly person. But then we see something else. That Joseph was a goodly person, a handsome young man, a man that had very attractive appearance, and that blessing easily can become a curse in a sinful world that we also live in. It became a danger and a threat. It's a good question if there was another person among the millions that lived in Egypt, another young man that was not interested in the excitement of sinful way of living that Egyptians were reveling in. When this wicked woman, the wife of Potiphar, could not succeed in enticing Joseph to engage in a sinful relationship with her, she became very hateful, very bitter. And she accused Joseph of trying to do what Joseph resisted doing. I wonder, beloved, if that Potiphar was such a foolish man that he didn't know what was going on. I just cannot believe that his wife was an honest and faithful wife until that moment, and Joseph was so irresistible to her. She was a beast, a devilish woman. And yet, Potiphar, obviously a very weak in his morals, if any, weak in his intellect, intelligence, and weak before his wife, takes his wife's accusation as a reason to cast Joseph into prison. Now there were different diverse prisons in Egypt. This was royal prison, the best prison in the land of Egypt. From that prison, some people were returned back to the palace of Pharaoh. Some were taken to be executed, killed, put to death. Potiphar did not send Joseph into the prison for slaves, the prison for common people, the prison for the enemies or those that were captured in a war, but into the royal prison. Chances are, but this is only my speculation, we don't find that information so detailed here in this book, but chances are that Potiphar was aware of the fact that his wicked wife just lied. Joseph could have been put to death. It was in the hands of his master. Apparently, Potiphar did not want to do that. So, Joseph was sent into this prison, and again we read, but the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord gave him mercy and favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And soon, in this prison, Joseph had the same position that he had in the house of Potiphar. Everything was trusted to Joseph's servitude. And Joseph was working there in the prison, and he was like a steward, a supervisor in the prison. But we read here also that the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners. You know that if one prisoner escapes from that prison, the keeper of the prison, his life would be endangered. Remember what happened when Herod the king was, when Herod commanded to bring Peter to him from the jail, from the dungeon, and they could not find him because an angel that night took Peter out. But Herod the king examined the keepers of the prison and ordered them to be put to death. All of them. To allow a prisoner to escape or not to be able to give account of that prisoner, the keeper of the prison, his life was in danger. And yet, the keeper of this prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, Joseph was the doer of it. He was not someone who was sitting on a high elevated throne. He was the doer. He was a worker. He was an active man. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with Joseph. And that which Joseph did, the Lord made it to prosper. Now as we turn back and we think about Joseph as a person, as a believer, as a godly man, we can consider that Joseph was taken away from his home, that he was taken away from his father that loved him so much, and obviously Joseph loved his father. That Joseph was sold, first left in a pit to starve to death, and then later on sold to be a slave by his own brothers, and then that Joseph as a slave worked faithfully and very carefully, and then was accused for the crime that he refused to commit. And now Joseph is a prisoner. He is still working zealously, faithfully, and he serves God. I don't know how to explain that. But I hope we can see what grace of God was bestowed on Joseph. Joseph is not the only man that suffered. Many others did the same. From the time Moses was born, his sons had to hide him. And then, when his own mother became a nurse for the child Moses, to the daughter of Pharaoh, soon came the time when that child was taken away from the mother and sent to Egyptian's royal schools to be instructed to become an enemy of God's people. But Moses loved his people and rather chose to share in their suffering than to enjoy the glory of the land of Egypt. David was another one. From the moment he was anointed to be the king of Israel, he became a refugee. But God was always with those that are godly. May also our Heavenly Father make us similar to Joseph. Joseph meaning fruitful, bringing forth that good and blessed fruit of true godliness, obedience, faithfulness to the Lord, serving the Lord in every situation and trusting the Lord, knowing that even though we don't know why and how long we have to suffer all that is coming our way, that God knows and He will never leave nor forsake those that keep His word. And then, beloved, the Lord will make all that He wants us to do for His name's sake, He will make that to prosper. Now, prosperity is not always visible with physical eyes. Joseph was going through some schooling, through some preparation to become the deliverer of his own people. And the dreams that he dreamed so long ago will come to pass and will be fulfilled. The whole family of Joseph, his father, his brethren, and the wives of Jacob, his father, will come and bow down and honor Joseph because God was with him and Joseph did not yield to sin. May the Lord grant to all of us that purity, that patience, that endurance, that faith in the God of Israel that never forsakes His own. May our Heavenly Father bless His word and add to each heart, to each mind, to every soul here, all that is needful for each individual. More than in this short period of time and in my great weakness I shared with you. And may to our Heavenly Father, from us, for His great goodness and mercy be, worship and praise, honor and glory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.